Somebody has stole something from you right now sitting next to you. You better check your pocket to see. Every 3 seconds, somebody steals something. I remember learning about stealing when I was a very young lad. We went in, there was this clothing store in our little town, and so we went in there shopping. I was with my mom, and she was up at the counter doing something, and I was looking at this rack of belts. And on the rack of belts, there's all these different kinds of belts. And this is back in the 70s when you people used to wear a lot of weird clothes back then. And some of them had to do with the belts that you wore, real thick belts like that. Well, this one was a thick belt like that, and it had little plastic things that looked like a bullet thingamajiggy that they used to wear in Westerns. Well, at least to me it looked like that, but it was all the way around there. And I kept staring at that, and I was kind of figuring, I bet you I was 5 years old around that. Pretty young, 4 or 5 years old. And I looked at that little plastic thing. I thought, you know, that looks like it would fit in my gun back at home. And so I whittled that out, and I took it, and I whittled that little thing. It was sitting in these little, just like a gun belt. And it popped out, and I threw it in my pocket, and we went home. Well, my mom, I don't know how she, can't remember. It's probably because I got in trouble. That's why I can't remember, and I had to blot that out of my memory. But she found out that I had taken that, and we got in the car immediately, and she drove me back into town, and I had to go to that lady and apologize that I had taken something from them. And I was thinking, this is just a little piece of plastic out of a belt. But that stuck with me throughout my life, that was something that we should not do. Stealing. That's my first memory of stealing. Now, have you ever done something like that when you're little? Or have you done something like that when you're older? Or have you ever had anything stolen from you? Maybe we all have. We had something stolen out of our house before. We had a bike taken out of our garage. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but when something is stolen, there's something, a part of you that's stolen, that it makes you feel kind of different. There's anger that someone was coming to take something that's not their own. There's a sense of loss that our little kid's bike is gone. And I can't remember if it was a newer bike or what, but I just remember it was gone. There's fear that a stranger came on our property, opened up the fence, got into our garage, and took something, and then you feel violated when somebody does that to you. That's what stealing does. It makes you feel violated because somebody took something that was not theirs. We're in this series on the Ten Commandments, and we're on the Eighth Commandment, and the Eighth Commandment talks about stealing. Now, the Ten Commandments were given to God's people to guide them in their life. They were basically a practical guide to guide them in their daily life of holiness, to be different. They were to live differently than the people that they lived around. In them, these Ten Commandments, the people could see the nature of God and His plan for how they would live, and the commands and guidelines were intended to direct the community to meet the needs of each individual in a loving and responsible manner. If we would follow the Ten Commandments today, we would not have any terrorists, we would not have any greed, we would not have any broken relationships, we would not have struggles in our life, if we would follow those simple Ten Commandments. But as we know, those Ten Commandments are awfully hard to follow, each and every one of them. But the Eighth Commandment tells us that we should not steal. It says, Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. This commandment forbids any act by which, directly or indirectly, we dishonestly obtain the goods of another individual. To most of us, it just thinks like we're taking change off somebody's counter or taking something. But it is a much broader picture than that as well. Stealing is a lot bigger than maybe what we think in our minds. In fact, when you look at the other Ten Commandments, a lot of them has to do with stealing. Thou shalt not commit adultery is stealing somebody else's wife. Thou shalt not kill is stealing somebody else's life. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's is wanting to take something that they have for yourself. Thou shalt not lie. That's stealing somebody else's justice because they're counting on you to tell the truth. And when you lie or give false testimony, that's stealing justice from them. So stealing really covers a big area of our lives. And today we're going to define what stealing is in all those different aspects. Then I want to talk about why it's wrong. And then the last thing is how we have therapy for thieves. Therapy for thieves. What do we do if we have that notion to take something? And kids, I'm glad that you're in the room today because this is really important for you as well to learn about stealing. So ultimately, stealing, what is it? Ultimately, stealing is stealing somebody else's property or even their person. But its application is much broader than that. And some of it may surprise you. But there's three major things that I think that stealing covers. The first, that we don't think about a lot, is stealing a person. Stealing a person, or kidnapping. In fact, some of the Bible scholars really believe that that's what that passage means, thou shalt not steal, is really talking about stealing somebody else. But stealing, kidnapping, is wrong. In the Bible, robbing someone of their freedom simply to be able to do with them what the thief desires was considered wrong. Now, this is a difference between, so a lot of people would complain about slavery in the Bible, and we do read about slavery in the Bible. But slavery back then was much different than what we probably, that we know about in the 1800s or 1700s. Slavery back then was a lot like indentured servant. If you got in too deep a debt, what you would do is you would sell yourself to an employer, and they would hire you to pay off your debt. You could buy back your freedom if you wanted to as well, or you could stay on and work with that person, but they would be called slaves or servants. The difference of the modern-day slavery that we know is that somebody went and stole those people from Africa, and they sold them to slave traders, and then they brought them over here or to other countries as well. That's kidnapping, and therefore breaks that command. Stealing is stealing another person for your own benefit. In fact, the punishment of kidnapping in the Bible was death. That's how serious God took taking somebody else's life and using it for your own personal whatever. Now today, modern-day slavery would be sex trafficking, where kids and young people are taken from their homes or seduced out of their homes or lured out of their homes and sometimes given out of their homes in certain areas of the country, in certain foreign countries, in order to be used as slaves in the sex trafficking business. But that's stealing a person, and therefore it's breaking this command. A second is stealing property and possessions, and we understand this, of course. This would include animals and land and servants and property and rights and inheritance back when the Bible was written, and it also includes some of those things today. But in the Old Testament, it also included deceiving people out of something, like moving your property boundary so that you can have more land. That was a no-no. Using false measures or balance in order to get more gold or to bring the price down or whatever it might be, but false balances and measures. You know, it's not that long ago that they used to measure out food in stores, probably 50 years ago. Now I guess the thing that we trust the most is maybe gas stations, that they make sure they give us the right amount of gallons for what we pay for. And those numbers are checked on a regular basis to make sure they're accurate. But that's one way to steal somebody from somebody. Selling goods that are inferior quality. So you say something is in great shape, but really it's not. But that's stealing from someone because you're not giving them the truth and they're buying something at a value that value is not matched up to. So that's stealing property. Or charging interest to the needy. In Exodus 22:25, it says that we should not charge interest to those that cannot afford it. So stealing property and possessions are a part of breaking this command. And the third is stealing the non-material things a person owns. And this is probably where we don't think much about, but it very much is stealing. Dennis Prager, in his book, The Ten Commandments, writes about this, these non-material things that people steal from others. And these are his words, and so I want to make sure to give him credit, otherwise I would be stealing from him. That's called plagiarism, right? So Dennis Prager, he writes this. Here's some four things that are non-material. First is a person's reputation is stolen. Stealing a person's good name, whether through libel or slander or gossip, is a particularly destructive form of theft because, unlike money or property, once a person's good name has been stolen, it can almost never be fully restored. So stealing a person's reputation by how you talk about them. And I don't care who that is. That could be anybody. It's not only the person that's your neighbor, but that could be the person that you work with. It could be your boss. It could be political leaders. Anytime you talk and ruin a person's reputation is talking about them, period. You're stealing their reputation. Secondly, a person's dignity can be stolen. The act of stealing a person's dignity is known as humiliation. And humiliating a person, especially in public, can do permanent damage to what is perhaps the most precious thing any of us own, which is our dignity. Kids, that's why it's very important at school that you don't make fun of people that are looking different, that look different than you, or that act different than you, or that you bully. You know, bullying is a big thing in your school. But that's why it's so important, because it hurts their feelings, but it makes them, they lose their dignity in front of you. You should always look to those people and build them up and befriend them, even if they are a little bit different. And I guarantee that it'll make you feel better about yourself, but it also makes them feel better about themselves as well. But when we make fun of people, it steals their dignity. That's stealing somebody something that's very important from them. A third is stealing a person's trust. Stealing a person's trust is known as deceiving someone. One example is tricking people into buying something, as when a real estate agent omits telling a prospective buyer all the flaws in a home in order to make a sale. We found out this, that's one of the reasons why Crossroads College got into trouble. Somebody came and approached them and donated to them a bunch of vacation properties in Wisconsin. They weren't on a lake, they were just off the lake, but they came and there was a number of properties and they valued those properties at about $30,000 apiece. And they just wanted to give them to the college. And so the college went, awesome. They're worth about $2 million if you would sell them off. And so the school got that and received that, and they were so blessed. They talked about being blessed by that. Now, they borrowed money based on that estimate that came back from this person that donated to them. Well, when they went and back to try to sell things, they found out that they were worth nothing, that the person evidently bought it at an auction price, went and got someone to give an appraisal that was high, and then he could get a write-off by donating it to a nonprofit, see? Well, they stuck the school with that, and what the school didn't know is they got about a year later, they got a bill that there was dues that were paid on that property as well. And it was hundreds or tens of thousands of dollars of dues that the school didn't know anything about, that they had to pay for property that was worthless. And so right away, they went $2 million behind. Now, they paid that debt off, but it put them $2 million behind. Basically, that man helped ruin the school. That's stealing from someone. And so anytime we do that with a car, if we know, for instance, a car is not working or the transmission is going out, but we sell it at a certain price because we want to deal with it, that's stealing from someone. I want to know what's wrong with it. That's why I have a hard time selling cars, because everything's wrong with my car and no one would want to buy it. Please just I'll pay you $50 to take it because everything is wrong with it. But that's stealing because you're not being truthful to someone and you're pushing money off on them that you probably need to put in your car before. Okay? That's stealing a person's trust. And the fourth thing is a person's intellectual property. This form of theft includes anything. Kids, this is for all older kids. Perk up your ears too. Get off your phones. No, I'm teasing you. They're not. They're listening attentively. It also means downloading free music that's not really free. Or movies from China or Taiwan that are free. They're not free. They're stolen from somebody. I'm not, those countries don't, I'm just giving you an example of that, okay? That's stealing from someone. That's property rights. Even we have to be careful with songs that we use because somebody writes these songs. That's why we buy a license to use our worship songs, because we have to send a report every year about the songs that we use so that people can get paid for their music. It gets kind of tedious after a while, but those people, that's their life. And so they deserve to get a benefit out of that because that's their intellectual property. But that could be plagiarizing in a book or music or whatever it might be that we need to make sure to give people. It doesn't mean that you can't use that. You can't download it, but if you're using another person's words, you just need to give them credit where credit is due. So all these things are stealing. Stealing a life, a person, a spouse, material property, intellectual property, a reputation, dignity, or trust. There is hardly any aspect of human life that is not harmed, sometimes irreparably so, by stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Let me give you some practical ways that we kind of maybe don't think about stealing, but it's stealing. For instance, taking food from a buffet that you didn't pay for. Or just asking for water and then using your cup for pop. That's stealing. Keeping too much change when it's given back to you. Not going back to the store after you realize that you underpaid them. Carrie supposedly bought this pop. I can't remember the situation, but I knew that she wasn't charged for some Mountain Dew. So she went back to the person and says, "Hey, I just want to pay you for this Mountain Dew. I'm not going to take it with me, but I just want you to scan it and pay for it because you didn't charge me before." And the young kid behind the desk goes like, "You idiot, why are you doing that for? We should have just left it." That's kind of how he looked at her. But it's a conscience there that there was something that was not paid for, and so you got to give it back. I don't care if they made a mistake. Does that bless you by making a mistake that you get to keep something like that? Demanding we get a sale price for something, even though you know that the sign was in the wrong spot, or that Nike sweatshirt that's in 80% off, you should realize Nikes are never 80% off, and somebody put it in the wrong spot. And then you go and argue, well, someone put it there, I demand I get this price. Well, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Stealing. Buying something on sale and then exchanging it for a regular price. Taking money out of your mom and dad's wallet. Using someone else's discount card that you bought for you to use personally. Not paying your debts is stealing from somebody else that borrowed you money. And I know that big banks get a lot of big problems, but who puts money in banks? Where does that money come from? People. Where do you put your savings? In banks. So when they blow this thing up about big bank, they're taking money from people that trusted that bank to save their money there. Stealing from people. Not paying your bills. Not paying someone that worked for you, or not paying them enough. Or stealing the innocence of a child through abuse. Those are all ways that people steal from others. And we try to rationalize that. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's what we used to say to my brother if I found his toy. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Or all's fair in love and war and business. Or it's their own fault, they made the mistake. Or it's the government. Or they're rich, they can afford it. It's still taking money. It's money that's not yours, right? Stealing is stealing, and it's a command of God. There's a threefold differentiation, got that right, of punishment that the Old Testament talks about. The death penalty was given for those that kidnapped another person or stealing God's property. There's a story where Achan stole some of the things that God had, and he was put to death because of it. Another one is the double, if you stole livestock or goods, it's double value. You'd have to give double. So if you took one cow, you had to give two back. One to replace it, and then one to basically what you have to give back what you thought you were going to profit from it. So if you're going to profit one, you have to give back the original and then give them something to profit by. So it was double back. And then the third one was 4 to 5 times the amount of livestock. So if you stole an animal and it was still alive, you had to give the animal back and then give another animal. If you stole an animal and you killed it and ate it, you had to give 4 or 5 of them back. Because if you killed it, they couldn't reproduce to make more animals. See? And so you had to pay that back, 4 to 5. If it was a sheep or a goat, it was 4. If it was a cattle, if it was a calf or a cow, it was 5. Now the New Testament condemns stealing as well. The Apostle Paul wrote to Corinthians in 6, verse 9 through 10. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, he says, "Don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, who's wrongdoers? Not be deceived. He says, "Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So thieves, greedy, swindlers, all taking something from somebody else, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what's the big deal? What's wrong with stealing? The first thing is stealing devalues a person and their possessions. It devalues them. You don't care about them because you're going to take something from them. When I was in college, there used to be Econo Foods where Trader Joe's was. Econo Foods was brand new back then, back in the late 80s. And I was walking through the hallway with some of my friends shopping. And I was walking, all of a sudden I noticed behind me there's two workers that are following us everywhere we're going. I'm going, what's going on with that? What I didn't know is one of my friends had a magazine or something he wrote up, and he shoved some shampoo in it and was going to steal it. Now, I didn't know about it. That wasn't part of my thing that I did. And when I was going like, what's going on with that? He got really nervous, and then he quickly put it on the shelf, and then the guys quit following us after. I got ticked. I said, number one, Don't steal. You're at Bible college. This is a Bible college kid. Secondly, I'm with you, dude. You don't steal when I'm with you. Because I get in trouble too. Very selfish. Disregard for people. For me and for the store that brought that. It devalues a person's property. Stealing is very self-centered. It says, I need this, they don't. I deserve this, they don't. And a thief never has in mind the person who worked hard and sacrificed to buy that car, provide that home, or to buy that bike for that little child, or whatever it might be. Very self-centered. Ezekiel 22, verse 29 says, the people of the land, he's criticizing them because of what they're doing. He says, the people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. It devalues a person when we extort and oppress and deny, when we take things from them that maybe is their right or whatever it might be, but it devalues a person and their possessions. A person's possessions are an extension of the person themselves. So taking something is really taking from someone. So remember that. No matter who it is, if you don't own it, don't touch it. Secondly, stealing destroys character and trust. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples, one of his trusted disciples. In fact, he was in charge of Jesus' money and resources when they would travel. But notice what the Apostle John writes about Jesus the night he was betrayed. He says in John 12, verse 4 through 6, but one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Excuse me, a woman came in to anoint Jesus' feet, and she had very expensive perfume. She was anointing him because she was forgiven of her sin, and she wanted to do this service to Jesus. And so he looks in and goes, why are they wasting that perfume? I could use that for a profit. He says, it's worth a year's wager. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. Now Judas was skimming off the top of Jesus' disciples, and he was using it for his own benefit. And that's a little thing. But later on, Judas turns Jesus in himself to gain a profit, 30 pieces of silver. What he didn't realize is that the religious leaders were going to kill Jesus. And when they did eventually kill him, he came back repentant of what he was trying to do. But they refused to. He tried to get the money back, and they refused to take it back. And eventually went and killed himself because he felt so bad for what he had done. But it's a great lesson. And if we steal just these little things, how it affects our character, and it affects our actions maybe in other transactions that we have in human life as well. It's a reflection of our character. It destroys our character and trust. And then finally, stealing disregards God's provision. I've read numerous stories of church accountants or secretaries stealing money from the church. And many times they needed it to pay off their bills. But talk about relying on God. It's kind of in the wrong way, though, taking from the church's budget. People steal because they don't think God will provide for their needs. And they take from others because they believe they have to take matters into their own hand in order to provide for themselves. But stealing disregards God's provision. The promise in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, is that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a promise. And so when we take things on our own account and when we take it from others, that's disregarding them, that's devaluing them, and then it also says it's disregarding God's provision for us. And that's why stealing is wrong. So what do we do? What are some therapy for us if we are thieves? Here's some therapy for thieves. In Ephesians, there's a really neat verse there that just really gives us three things that we need to do if we have that problem. If we've had that problem in the past. Ephesians 4, verse 28 says that anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Very quickly, how do you deal with this little character flaw? It's not a little character flaw. This big character flaw that we have in our life if we're prone to stealing things from others. First, live a life of integrity. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. Remember old Bob Newhart? Bob Newhart show? Come on, those of us in the 70s that lived and watched TV back then, Bob Newhart show. He was a counselor. there's a little skit that they used to do, and I don't know if it was in a show or if it was in it, but I've seen it on YouTube before. But a lady comes in with lots of problems. She sits down, and Bob Newhart, with his own quirky ways, listening to him, and she goes, you know, doctor, I have this problem, and I keep doing this and doing this and doing this. What do you think I should do? He goes, well, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, but I do this and this. She goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And he goes, what do you think? And he goes, stop it. And he goes on and on again, goes for a while, and finally he's just yelling, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Just stop it. That was his advice. All right, look it up on YouTube. I didn't act it out very well. But if you're stealing, stop it and live a life of integrity. Proverbs 10, verse 9, whoever walks with integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Live a life of integrity. Secondly, live a life of industry. And you're going like, industry? I don't own a business. Industry means to work hard. Industry. It says in verse 28, the middle part, but he must work, doing something useful. There's nothing wrong with work, people. We were created to work. We were created to tend God's garden. We were created to work. It's not a sin to work. It's not a right not to work. Work is hard work. I know that. It's work. It's work. Grow up on a farm when you work. Jeff grew up on a dairy farm. They don't ever quit working because they have to milk constantly. And they hardly take vacations because you got to make sure the milk comes out of the cow. That's one of the hardest jobs there is, milking cows. Work. Get used to that. And that's a good thing. It builds dignity in people's lives when they earn their money. And not wait for someone to provide for all their needs. There's a theology of work that God expects us to do that. In fact, even Paul talks about there were some Christians that were being lazy because they thought that God was going to, that Jesus was going to turn. And he says, don't give them any food unless they work. They're capable of the work. Work. So work hard. Don't steal from other people. People that take the easy road to wealth, they play the lotto hoping to make it big, but lotto winners run out of money very quickly. I think in Florida, 80% of them go broke. Off the millions of them. Most of the athletes that make millions of dollars go broke after a while because they're not used to that. So don't rely on that. Just work hard. Work hard. Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring in wealth. Now, some work very, very hard, and maybe they're, you know, there's that they just don't get enough, you know, that, I understand that as well. And some are struggling along just to provide for their family. We get that as well. You're working hard, though. That's great to do that. And that's when church can come in and help people to supplement some of those things or to help when there's a crisis in need. But the key is to work. God will honor your hard work. It is something that used to be a value. It used to be a value. And it's a value that needs to be reestablished within our culture again. So live a life of industry. It's third thing, live a life of generosity. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Quit doing it. Work hard. So why? So that you can give some of it away. That you may have something to share with those in need. Isn't that interesting? Instead of taking things, now you're giving it away to somebody else. God wants us to be generous people. And when we hoard what we have, it's greed. And greed says that it's mine and no one else can have it. But God has given us the ability to prosper so that we can help others. And when we give, it is telling the Lord that our possessions do not possess us. When we give, we are giving thanks to the Lord, recognizing him as the owner of all things. We are his steward. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, it says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The key to becoming prosperous is being generous. God will bless you and bless your work when you're generous with your resources. All right, here's the bottom line, folks. I don't know if this is in your passage, and I don't know. Do we have Proverbs, Alec? Do we have Proverbs, or Proverbs 30? Do we have that? No, that's okay. I'll just read it. Just listen closely, because I'm going to use it next week. It's about contentment as well. Just listen to this. This is Proverbs. Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 9. You can write it in there if you're following along. Two things I ask you, Lord, and do not refuse me before I die. The first thing is keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Stealing dishonors God's name. And our prayer request to him is, Lord, help us be content with what we have. We're going to talk about that a little bit, about wanting what everybody else has for our own good, even if we have to take it from them or have somebody else take it from them and give it to us. But just be content with what we have, because stealing dishonors God. And the second thing is, just trust God. Trust, I shouldn't say just. Take just out of it. Trust God. And help, allow him to provide for your needs. And even if you don't have a lot, you will have enough. And you will honor his name by living a life of integrity. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Ten Commandments that are our guardrails in life, that keep us going on the path that you want us to travel, that give a firm foundation for a culture and a society to live rightly in your eyes, but also among ourselves as well. It's all about our relationship with those around us, Lord. And when we love our neighbor, that means we don't take from our neighbor. When we love our neighbor, it means that we don't disregard them and their things. No matter who that neighbor might be, remember, Jesus defined neighbor anybody that we come across. And so I pray, Lord, that if we're living a life of integrity, that if we have this sin in our life, that you forgive us and help us live a life of industry and generosity.